on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
Right on 10:30, Sky Sports Radio On The Pace. Greg Hayes has got his finger right on the hopples here to find out what's going on. Morning, Hazy.
Good morning, Cozzy. Lot to get through this morning. We're going to concentrate in the first half of the show on what's going on in Sydney. We'll catch up early on with Troy Williams. We're going to have a chat to him about Iona Grinner, who took out one of the feature trot races on Saturday night at Menangle. Now, his mare, Iona Grinner, won the Hammerhead, which was the Group 3. Now, she is a very talented mare. She's been competing from the stands for quite a while, and back to the mobile on Saturday night, and she was back in the winners list. Now, there was a very short price favourite in the race, and that horse was Tough Monarch. And we spoke with Ricky Alchin a couple of weeks on the show, and we're talking about Tough Monarch being one of the best pacers or one of the best trotters in the country inside the next 12 months. Now, I don't step away from that comment. I still think Tough Monarch is going to be one of the best trotters in the state. But the problem with Tough Monarch is that he's still learning how good he is. And again, he's got that little issue. He galloped at the same point that he did in the Bull Eye Trotters Cup. Now, you might remember in the Bull Eye Trotters Cup, he threw it away about the 600 metre mark. And he got trotting again, and he made up a lot of ground, and he did a really good job. Well, over the shorter trip on Saturday night, he galloped again when he was in front, and it was curtains for him. Now, it's interesting because there was a question posed on Twitter on over the weekend that if you actually have a look at the two races, the Bull Eye Trotters Cup and Saturday night's Hammerhead, if you pause and freeze it, it is exactly the same point. And it looks to be there's a big sign, an Allied Express sign over the back fence. And it's as they hit the Allied Express sign, that's exactly where Tough Monarch has galloped both times. Now, basically, for people who haven't been to Menangle and just watched the races on TV, that's a bit of TV magic, if you like. That Allied Express sign is not there. That is computer generated. So Tough Monarch's not seeing that Allied Express sign. That is not what is causing Tough Monarch to gallop. Spoke with Ricky Alchin after the race. He suggested that the horse, if it is a Menangle thing, and it could well be in the horse's head, he may well do a lot of his future racing in Victoria. Now, I noticed that Tough Monarch is in the trials today, so he's obviously being sent around today just to see whether it is a thing in his head. If he gets around safely, Ricky may continue racing him in Sydney to see if he can get him past that spot on the racetrack. However, if he doesn't trot throughout in the trial, he may look to continue his racing career in Victoria and basically pick the eyes out of the Victorian trotting calendar. So that was the news with the favourite. But what about this mare, Iona Grinner? She has been so consistent for Troy Williams. She's had a remarkable career. She's won 19 races now. She went 155.3 in winning on Saturday night. And remarkably, that was a career best. She was very impressive. She's banked $170,000 in her career. She's a grin from ear to ear mare out of a village Jasper mare, Meredith Castle. So she's basically pacing bread, and she's a very talented trotter. Troy Williams is joining us to have a chat. Morning, Troy.
G'day, Hazy. How are you, mate?
Mate, really well. Interesting. She's been competing from the stand. She has improved a lot with her standing start manners, but back to the mobile on Saturday night, and there's no doubt she relished that.
Yeah, definitely, Hazy. She relished the mobile probably so much from the draw. That's what helped her because she's so highly assessed now. You know, typically week in, week out, we draw quite out wide and we've got to go back. But, you know, when she drew it in, you know, had a draw in close and, you know, the speed was on and we got a bit of luck, obviously, with, you know, the favourite galloping. you know, that helped us. And Mary's favourite son sort of sucked us around the corner, and she just had too much speed down the straight. So, no, she went fantastic.
You must be really happy with her. She's been very talented, but she has been so consistent right throughout her career. Every season, you know you're going to get some wins out of her. She's going to pay away, and she's just going to give you a thrill each and every season she races.
Yeah, definitely. You know, she's been extremely consistent. And, you know, when she's not sort of running a place, it's either due to, you know, bad luck in the run or things don't go her way from a barrier draw perspective or a handicap. You know, when, you know, I suppose all the things, you know, point to the right direction, she's right there in the finish, you know, every time. So
she started her career as a pacer, didn't she?
She did. She had two starts as an early two-year-old with no luck. And it was by pure accident that, you know, we went out there one day on the track to gallop and she didn't want to come out of a trot. And from there, we sort of went forward.
So is it when she went from being a pacer to a trotter, was it always going, was she happy to trot throughout? Was there teething issues or was she basically into a trot straight away?
No, she was pretty much into a trot straight away. There was early days, there was no challenges at all. She just adapted really well to it. Sort of mid through her racing career, she sort of, whether she'd had enough and needed a bit of a blow, she started to make a few errors and roll into a pace when inconvenienced. But as she's gotten older, she's definitely, touch wood, started to put it all together and, you know, not have those hiccups each time.
She was placed in the New South Wales Trotters Derby as a three-year-old, obviously, and interestingly enough, that race was run on Saturday night and then she comes out and wins the hammerhead on that program. What races do you set her for now?
Look, we've nominated for Victoria. There's a Group 1 classic race there on Saturday night, standing start over 2,700 metres. And I've always said that she's sort of better over distance with the speed on, where she can sort of get a bit of cover and sucked along and be right there in the finish. So we'll head south if we get a run this weekend. And at this stage, we'll probably leave her down there for a month or two and get her to sort of acclimatise with those conditions and tracks there in Victoria, hopefully in preparation for the Inter Dominion coming up in late November, December.
Who will you leave her with?
At this stage, if he returns my calls, David Aiken. So, as Dave's listening, maybe give us a call.
I noticed that you've got Vivian Knox going around on a Saturday night in the Trotters Foundation final, the Group 3. What can you tell us about Vivian Knox?
Yeah, she's a nice little filly, Hazy. We've sort of taken our time to sort of work her out, and she's a little bit up and down and inconsistent. But when she's on a game, you know, she's proven. You know, I think she ran third in the foundation heat against sort of Drop the Hammer and Castle Ray and was pretty handy on that day. So, and she's put a couple of other nice runs in. But, you know, if we can sort of get her to her best, I think she's going to definitely improve with age. And after the foundation final this Saturday night, she'll go for a bit of a spell and hopefully come back a little bit more mature.
Nicholson ran second last time out, goes around in the first event today off the 10 metres. You expecting a similar performance to last time out?
Yeah, I am. He's handled the week quite well. You know, the conditions of the race sort of suit him. He's very quick away on most occasions. You know, if he can step well and be up in the sort of first half of the field, then, you know, he's definitely a placeholder today.
Mate, the trotting carnival, we're in the middle of it at the moment. It continues to get stronger and stronger in New South Wales every year.
It does. We're definitely in the middle of it, and we've seen, you know, extreme growth in the trotting category over the sort of past 18 months. And, you know, that's due to, obviously, New South Wales Harness Racing and the Trotters Association of New South Wales really jumping on board to support the trotter. And, you know, our next focus is on the Inter Dominion 2020 here in New South Wales, where we'll start to do all of that legwork to grow that category even further so we can produce some good runners there, hopefully in the mix in the Inter Dominion final.
That'd be nice to see. Obviously, the Victorians are going to have the, I guess, the strength in numbers, but it'd be nice to see when we do have the Inter Dominion trotters here in, you know, in 2020 that, you know, we can be competitive and have a couple of runners and be well represented in that Inter Dominion final.
Yeah, that's definitely our objective. And, you know, we're already working on the juvenile categories, the horses you see go around in the Oaks and the Derby throughout this carnival. You know, their age sort of suits to align to the 2020 carnival, and, you know, it's really good product of horses in there. So you know, if we can continue to grow that, grow the numbers here in New South Wales, I think we'll, you know, have a handy mix come Inter Dominion 220.
All right, good on you, Troy. Congratulations with the win in the Hammerhead, and good luck later today with Nicholson.
Thanks very much, Hazy.
Interesting to hear what Troy had to say there, that he's going to send Iona Grinner to Melbourne on Saturday night and try and get a run in the Group 1 down there, and then leave her in Victoria and get her ready for the Inter Dominion, and most likely with David Aiken. So that's the latest with her. I noticed that the very talented Bling It On was coming back and trialled last week at Menangle and is engaged to go around this Saturday night. Now, the free-for-all this week is the Joe and Michael Ilsley free-for-all. No Major Dan. There's no Myfield Marshall. And I guess there's, well, there's no Tiger Tara, who's still not in the stable. He's still out having a break, but it looks a really nice race for Bling It On to resume in. And I thought we'd catch up with Bling It On's driver, Luke McCarthy, and he can have a chat to us about the trial last week and what the plans are with Bling It On at this stage. I assume with the Winter Carnival just around the corner, that looks like a target that they can go towards. Luke's joining us to have a chat. Morning, Luke.
Yeah, good morning, Hazy.
Mate, what is the latest with Bling It On? Good to see him back at the trials last week and back at the races this Saturday night.
Yeah, he seems really well. He comes through his first up trial just nice. And we plan on trialling him again today, but his work's been really good since that trial, and we thought he was fought enough to have a race. And as you mentioned, a lot of them horses aren't there, even Franklin Ellison and Atomic Red. Probably, you know, without having that whole bunch of horses, probably not going to go around over that 2,300 this week. We thought it was an ideal race for him to kick off his preparation.
He was super first up from a spell last time in. That was over the mile trip. What are you expecting over the longer trip this week?
Oh, we feel his best form throughout his whole career has probably been over the distance. And we didn't really want to race him in Sydney over a mile first up with the likes of Major Dean. Them horses sort of running them times at the moment. So 2,300 ideal for him, and he'll just go around this week, and then he probably won't race for a couple of weeks and just, you know, assess where he's going from there.
Obviously, you know, this time, well, 11 months ago, or go back 11 months ago, he had that nasty fall, and he's obviously recovered from the injuries. Is there any issues with arthritis or anything like that? Do you have to manage the problems from the fall, or are those totally gone now?
Oh, I think with the scars in his knees, Greg, you know, you're always going to have to manage him. He spends a lot of time in the water and does most of his work, you know, swimming and water walking and stuff like that. So, you know, I think you sort of got to always manage it. But, you know, even any of these older racehorses that have raced hard through their whole career are high maintenance as it is. So, you know, it's just probably that little bit extra you've got to do with him.
All right. And is he going? Are the plans to take him back to Queensland during the Winter Carnival, or is the memories of last year too raw?
No, he'll definitely go, Greg. Like, he's loved Queensland his whole career. He's run some of his best races there. He won the nurseries, two-year-old, all the derbies at three. He won the big race, $100,000 race for the five-year-old. So, no, we're really looking forward to getting him back up there.
And obviously, having said that he's always enjoyed racing over the trip, then the Blacks of Fake becomes the major aim?
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
All right. What about Mac Doro? He's been racing extremely well, ran another gutsy second on Saturday night behind Major Dan. He misses this week. What's the plans with him?
He's just going to concentrate on the mile racing at Menangle, Greg. He'll just have an easy week and go towards then a couple of good mile races leading into the Golden Mile and then the Lensmith Mile. It'll just be nice for him when it comes into a Reenan Barry one, and if he could actually come up with a draw where he doesn't have to use most of his speed off the gate. You know, if he could just lob in a spot behind one of them good ones without having to burn off the gate early, I think he'll even go better again.
Okay. With the Inter-Dominions in Victoria later on in the year, will Bling It On be there?
Oh, hopefully, as long as he's sound and racing well. But, you know, you'd love to have him because he thrives on that sort of series. So as long as he's healthy and sound, hopefully he can make it there.
And what about McDoro?
Probably not. He just seems to be his best forms over the mile at Menangle. So, you know, I dare say he just continue to, you know, just while ever he's fit and healthy, he'll just keep racing in the miles at Menangle.
Mate, you've been lucky enough to drive overseas and you've won a feature race in the States when you spent some time over there. And obviously Andy's had a lot of success over in North America. Your younger brother Todd's getting the chance to go to Sweden next week to drive in the Elite Lot. You must be a very proud older brother and you'll no doubt follow this race with great interest.
Yeah, I just wish I could go with him. realistically, that's, you know, probably the biggest race in the world. Even when I was working in America, even all the American trainer drivers all talk about the Elite Lot and having a runner in the Elite Lot. So, you know, it's probably the most high-profile race in the world. And, you know, it's just fantastic that Todd's been able to get the opportunity to drive that mare in it.
It's amazing. I know when, you know, having spoken with Toddy on a few occasions and obviously when you came through, you hit the ground running and obviously Andy came through and he was driving plenty of winners. And speaking with Toddy, he really thought about giving the game away. It sort of didn't come as naturally to him early on as it did you and Andy. And to his credit, he stuck it out. He worked really hard at it. And it's in the last, say, 4 or 5 years, it's really clicked for him. And he's really kicking goals now.
Yeah, we can't beat him now.
The younger brother's getting one or two up on his older brothers now.
He's too good. Yeah, he's going really good, Hazy, and he's a natural and he's lightweight. You know, horses just run for him, so... No, he's going fantastic.
Well, mate, good luck with Bling It On Saturday night. We look forward to seeing him back at the races and we look forward to seeing another McCarthy on the world stage.
Thanks, Greg.
There he is, Luke McCarthy. He drives Bling It On Saturday night. He's drawn Barrier 11. If you haven't heard the field for the Joe and Michael Ilsley free-for-all, as mentioned, it is over the 2300, not the mile, so a lot of the big guns aren't there. Excitus in the City is the first emergency. Then you've got all the Leon Jurd horses. There are four of them. Astronauts in two, Springfield Spirits in three, Blue Pointers in four, Our Missionary Man's in five. Let's Cut Loose is in six. We're going to try and catch up with Kevin Pizzuto. Celestial Arden's in seven. Composed, eight. Aztec Bromax in nine. Match in Heaven, 10. Bling It On, 11. I think the last few times we've teed up Kevin Pizzuto, he's brushed us, but hopefully at some stage we'll tee him up and speak with him. We're going to speak with Fred Cruz. We just spoke with Luke McCarthy about Bling It On and also his brother Todd, who's got the opportunity to head across to drive Maori Time in the Elite Lop. And, of course, that race is now only a week and a half away. Big news in the past week, the mayor has headed from Australia across to Sweden. It was a big long flight, about a 26-hour flight from here to Amsterdam. She then had to go via road, and I think she may have even caught a ferry at some stage to get from Amsterdam across to Sweden. Fred Cruz is her owner. We've spoken with Fred in the last couple of weeks, and I thought we might get an update as to the trip and also how she settled in over there. From all reports, everything's quite good. The news is really good, and I know the biggest concern from the camp was the trip across, because she was, after the little hiccup with the atrial fibrillation, she was 100% before she left home. Fred Cruz, the owner of Maori Time, is joining us to have a chat. Morning, Fred.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm really well. More importantly, how are you and how's Maori Time?
I'm wonderful and Maori Time is absolutely fantastic. The trip took longer than we anticipated. We were originally told it was a 23-hour trip, but that was just flying time. There was a number of stops along the way, and it probably took about 35 hours.
Wow.
But she's arrived in Sweden in absolutely perfect condition. You wouldn't even... You'd think she'd been at home in a stall at Belinda. You wouldn't know she'd travelled. She's so good. Brent's over the moon with her condition, and he's just been jogging the last couple of days. I'm not too sure when she'll do some fast work, but it'll be pretty soon. But the reports from him could not be better. It's unbelievable how good she's come through everything.
Fred, I obviously got the chance to meet you for the first time last Monday and spent some time with the mare before she did head off to Sweden. A couple of things I picked up there when I spent some time down at Brent Stables. The first is how relaxed she is for a big mare. She is as quiet as a lamb. And the second was a comment that Brent made in the interview that I did with him, and I think it'll make the cut for the story next week that people will see on In the Gig. But he said, if the race was here in Australia in a fortnight, I'd be really confident. She is 110%. So everything is looking really good. It is looking, things are heading in the right direction. And people don't realise how happy Brent is with this horse going into such a big race.
Yes, look, that's right. But we don't underestimate the quality of the opposition over in Europe. I think the depth is far greater than here in Australia, that we're going to have 15 outstanding horses to compete against. And I'd say any one of those horses would come over here to Australia and be, you know, in the top one or two in the country. So, you know, we know she's going well, but she will have to produce her best ever performances to do well in the elite level.
Yeah, look, she'll run in a heat, and if she runs top four in her heat, there's heats of eight. If she runs in the top four, she'll make the final. And keeping in mind that Sundon's Gift and A Touch of Flair, who were the last two Aussies to go across, neither of those were able to run in the top four in their heats. They didn't qualify for the final, but so if she was to run top four in a heat, she has well and truly exceeded all expectations, but she does have that gate speed. So if she can draw well and get into a good spot, then there's you know, she's got that toughness as well. And a lot of people forget that last Bill Collins win when she was so super tough and just kept coming out coming out wide when everyone expected her to drop off. She just kept fighting.
Yes, that's right.
So when do you leave?
I leave Saturday night.
Saturday night, and you'll be spending once you get there most of your time with Brent and also the mare in preparation for the big race on a Sunday week.
Yes, that's right. We're all very excited, and we think she'll do very well.
All right. Well, travel safe, and we wish Maori Time the best of luck. There is a special on In the Gig tonight. We've got a special on Maori Time. It's a two-parter. We meet you tonight, and we've got a second part next week where we spend a lot of time with Brent and also Todd McCarthy. So we'll get a chance to meet you this evening.
Yep. Thanks, Greg, and I'll see you in Sweden.
Thanks, Fred. I'll look forward to catching up with you there.
Yep, thank you.
There he is, Fred Cruz, the owner of Maori Time, who is over in Sweden. So, yeah, the trip was expected to take somewhere in the vicinity of 40 hours. Actually posted a story on the national website last Wednesday. They thought she'd be in Sweden by about Friday lunchtime. And I don't think she got there until, like, Saturday night. They expected it. They basically were stopping for 5 hours every pit stop when they just thought that the pit stops were going to be like half an hour. So in the end, they finally got to their destination. The mare has settled in extremely well. I know that Solvala is looking after Brent Lilly very well. They've given him a car to drive around in Sweden. It's a brand new BMW, so I don't know if they'll get Brent Lilly to come home from Sweden. And Brent is extremely happy. He's staying at Stig Johansson. Stig is quite impressed. He's gone on record. He's saying that the mare has settled in extremely well at his property. And they've announced that the 16 horses that will compete in the Elite Lop as well, most of them obviously coming from Sweden. But that's the latest with Maori Time. So good luck to her and her connections with the race on Sunday week. Now, I will be here next Tuesday for On the Pace, and then I'll take off next Tuesday afternoon for Sweden, and we'll be bringing you all the news on Sky Sports Radio in the lead up to the Elite Lop, which will be on Sunday night, our time, Sunday week. Now, Kevin Pizzuto's not answering, so he's dodged us again, which is unfortunate. Now, I've got some news out of the Pizzuto stable. You might have missed the race on Saturday night, the feature event. Now, the race was taken out by Major Dan. It was the major pacing race on the night, and it was a good performance. It was the Eye of the Tiger pace. It was the open pace of the night. Major Dan went 149.4, went quarters of 26, 28.4, 28 and 27. It was another sub 150 performance, and they went considering that they went sub 149 the week prior. It was a freezing cold night out at Menangle. The horse was forced to work extremely hard in the early stages to find the top. MacDoro had to do a lot of work to get to the lead. Major Dan was trapped wide and then got the lead off MacDoro. Kevin Pizzuto joined me for an interview pre-race about Major Dan and is extremely happy with the horse, and went on to say that he thinks that the horse could be looking at a miracle mile in 12 months' time. Very happy with him. He also told me off air about Tiger Tara. He said Tiger Tara is still a month away from returning to the stables. He's not even back in work. So any talk of a Queensland campaign well and truly off the table. Kevin suggesting that he had a monster campaign last time in, and we did make mention of that, keeping in mind that that all started with the Victoria Cup in October. He had a couple of runs before he went to Victoria for the Victoria Cup, and then he went to New Zealand, and then he went to the Inter-Dominion, and then he had a short little break, and then he wrapped up with the Miracle Mile Carnival. Well, Kevin's given him a really big break to get over that, and he will come back into work in about a month and then get ready for races like the Inter-Dominion. So that's the latest with Tiger Tara. Kevin also suggesting that there was an offer on the table from a stud for Tiger Tara. Kev's rejected that, and the horse will race on. So that was the news re-Tiger Tara after joining me on Saturday night prior to Major Dan going back to the races. So he looks like he's got a pretty handy team at the moment, Kevin Pizzuto, because he's got a super miler in Major Dan that was purchased by the Americans, Hanover and Banks, and he's got a supreme stayer in Tiger Tara, who is going to come back into work very, very soon. And then we saw the performance in the Rod Fitzpatrick Memorial of Shooby Doo. Now, the scratching in that race of College Chapel, a lot of people may have been concerned. I spoke with Doug Hewitt, Bernie Hewitt's foreman, his son, prior to the race. College Chapel, nothing majorly wrong, just not 100% happy with the horse. They didn't want an absolute gut buster at this stage of his campaign. He's obviously got the Breeders' Challenge just around the corner. They didn't want to come down to Menangle and have to go, you know, a silly time first up from a break. They thought the best thing to do was to pull him out and get him ready for the Breeders' Challenge. So that's what they've done with him. So Shooby Doo was the winner of that for Amanda Turnbull. Animal running second for Nathan Jack, and DW running third. Now, the horse that finished fourth in that race was Pete's Big Jim, trained by Stacey Elliott. Peter Hedges drove the horse. Now, the horse has since been invited to the Harness Jewels. Now, since that race, the horse has also had a change of trainer. The horse now joins Shane and Lauren Tritton, and the horse now goes across to the Harness Jewels. So that makes another one heading across to New Zealand in a few weeks' time. I've mentioned coming up tonight on In the Gig, 6 o'clock, Sky Racing 2. The special will be on Maori Time. We will meet Fred Cruz. We'll talk all about Sweden, Ben Way and Jason Bonington. Our special guest tonight on Locked Wheels, we'll catch up with Chris Barsby. We're going to talk about with No Lazarus. Who's going to be the stars of the Inner Dominion? We're going to talk about the horses we think that are uncovered and we all know about. So you'd think horses like Soho Tribeca and Chicago Bull, but we're also going to pick one each that's going to that may be left of centre. So make sure you join us for that. That'll come up tonight from 6 o'clock, Sky Racing 2 in the gig. And I'll be back, Cozzy, next Tuesday for On the Pace. And then look forward to catching up with you in a fortnight's time as well, straight off the plane from Sweden.
Whew.
I will be here, bleary-eyed, and I'll give you a full report of what happened at the Elite Lot.
We'll have ABBA ready when you get back.
Money, money, money.
Good on you. Good on you, Hazy. See you, mate.
See you, mate.